Well, appreciate all of y'all. If your mothers didn't win anything today, I'm sorry. Go ahead and give me some kind of light back in the back so I can see who's sleeping. Andy, if you will. It is a task, without question, and it hasn't gotten any easier for mothers to be mothers with our declining society. We're going to look quickly at a few verses of Scripture in the Old Testament, but I'm reminded of D.A. Carson, a great New Testament theologian. He told a story one time how he had gotten married, him and his wife got married in Cambridge, England, and for their honeymoon they went over to Wales because he wanted just to go to a place that he had read about and studied about, because in 1904 and 5 there was a great Welsh revival where Wales in a particular area especially was really transformed because of the gospel, just from a simple preacher preaching how it got started. So he wanted to go, and they were visiting some of the castles. Tybni Castle was one, and he said as they were there, they saw on the side of the Calvinist Methodist Church, you don't see that anymore, and it said, "We're having tea for anyone who would like to come at 4 p.m. So he said, "Let's go." So him and his wife go in there, and he said he's just curious, because there is the heart of, they're in the heart of where that Welsh revival took place. And so he goes in there and he starts looking around, and he said, "You can tell that the church is liberal." Matter of fact, he says it was so far left it would take a pair of field glasses to find it. And so he was just curious, because he looks around and this old lady, he said for sure, if she was a day, she was 85. And he started thinking, is there any chance she could have been alive? Because this has been 40 years ago almost, okay? And so he just started asking in a polite way. He said, "You been around here long?" "All my life." And he said, I guess you've seen a lot." "Oh, yeah, a lot." "So, you know, how you like church?" She said, "Well, it's all right." "How's the pastor?" "Some liking." She was not enthused. So he said, "Well, I'm just going to go ahead and bite the bullet here," and said, "You ever heard of the Welsh Revival?" And he said, her eyes got about as big, and said, "You know about the Welsh Revival?" And he said, yeah, I've read quite a bit about it. He said, "You know, I've read stories that when that took place, that there was such a transformation in the men especially that operated the pit ponies, the little horses that went down in the mines that mined the ore, that they had such a change in their vocabulary that they had to retrain the ponies because the guys were not cursing anymore and they couldn't understand them." She said, "That's exactly right. My daddy was one of them. He quit being a drunk. He quit beating our family. He brought our groceries home. I was converted at 7. And he said for 40 minutes, she went on and talked about what a transformation it was in that area for several years. But then it wasn't long after that that it was like, what happened? Guess what? Nothing was institutionalized to try to help these people who were almost kind of ignorant about the gospel to learn how to process it and pass it on to the next generation. So it was gone. You know, nothing was there to try to prepare people, to try to keep this thing going, because, you know, you're only always one generation from people believing. That generation dies or something happens, they're gone. And so he said it was sad, because here she was, and you know what he asked her? Understanding, because she didn't hold back to talk about how liberal the place was. He said, "Well, where do you get your spiritual encouragement?" And she says, "From back to the Bible out of Lincoln, Nebraska." It comes out of, actually, Morocco is where she heard it from, but that's where it's from. Nothing was there, dry as a bone. Why? Because people who had the ability to prepare other people to do the work and keep it going didn't do anything. You know, when you look around at where we are today, even in society, someone failed. You know, someone failed. And that's what we're going to look at as we just look quickly at the situation. The tale of two women. Which one are you? You know, number one, we all have the possibility to be extremely good or extremely bad. I remember an old guy who's still alive. Whenever we went through a really, really hard situation at a church one time, I was talking to him on the phone, and he was encouraging me, and he says, you just need to understand this. The people that love you will go to no ends to help you, but the people that hate you, don't be surprised at what they will do. He said, don't be surprised about that, because they're extremes both ways. And boy, how true that is, and how true it proved to be. Here's the verse in 2 Kings. I'm going to move this out of my way. Does that bother y'all? Yeah, it was bothering me. It was drawing my right eye around there. 2 Kings, and backing up, the son that was killed, he had gone into a bad collusion with the king of Israel, and it caused his death. And so whenever he was killed, and actually one of the other more righteous guys came in there and killed a lot of their descendants, it says about 40-something in chapter 10. But when the one son was killed, this is the context of what happens. And when Athaliah, the mother of Uzziah, and he was the one that was killed just recently, okay, and he was the leader, the king, he was killed, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all of the seed. She killed all of her grandchildren that would inherit. She killed all of his kids and all of her other kids' sons that would have taken the spot. Why? Because it was handed down through lineage. So whenever he was killed, she just steps in and says, well, I'm going to be king. So she killed everyone and stepped in the slot. And she stayed there for 6 years. What a dark moment in Israel and Judah's history when you look at it. She was a mother and a daughter, but look, who is she daughter of? Remember Ahab and Jezebel? Where'd she learn all this stuff from? Ahab killed all the males of the royal family and put herself on the throne. So she became the queen mother. Didn't happen but just a few times, and this is one of them. And now guess what? Guess what she promoted? Baal. Did that have anything to do with God? Absolutely not. Paganism to the max. But where did she learn that from? Mom and Daddy. Who is Ahab? Boy, who is Jezebel? Y'all know that story, right? I'm not going into that one. She had Jezebel's force of character, unscrupulous. I mean, no regard for human life whatsoever. I want to be in the middle of this thing and in control, so I'll kill my own grandchildren. You know, 40 years ago, that would have surprised us if that ever happened here in America. Doesn't anymore. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that amazing? To show how bad the slide is. Mothers, just remember, I understand how difficult that is for your position. You have to undergo all kind of nonsense, don't you? Hello? Esther Stein says she was standing in the supermarket line, and it was in one of those lines that I get in, where there's 50 people in it and there's only one line open. Y'all don't ever get in those. I always get in those. And she said, she looks behind her, and this young lady who kind of looks distraught and tired with a buggy full of stuff, she said, you know, here's what I'll do. I usually do it, but I've been trying to be better. When this happens, I'll just say, make a fuss and say, why don't y'all open up another line? That's what I think, but I'm so diplomatic, I don't ever do that. I just put my stuff on the counter and walk out. That's what I do. But she says, I normally just make a fuss of it until they open another line, but I've been trying to do better. But if you want to hurry up, I'll do that, and you can get in that line. And the young mother said, no, that's okay. I got some newborn twins at home and a two-year-old. I'm in no hurry to go home. Is that the way you feel sometimes, moms? I know it is. You can't help but feel it. Why? Because sometimes they get on that last nerve you have, right? That's just part of it. And that's why God made you ladies different than us, because we can't tolerate that as much as most of you can. But that's just the way it is. She picked it up from Jezebel. And if you don't know who Jezebel is, just go read about that in the Bible a little bit. And you can see what a horrendous lady she was. A mean woman, and no doubt her six-year takeover, which she reigned as a king, was stained with blood, if you read about it, and all the abominations, because she just what? Just kept the Baal worship coming. You know, that's paganism to the max. Never had the kingdom of Judah, remember the southern kingdom of two tribes, the northern kingdom, when it divided, after Solomon's death in 931, it split. 10 tribes went to the northern kingdom, where Israel, and then the other two tribes, the south of Judah. And, you know, Israel goes out of the picture in, 721 by Assyria. And now Judah doesn't really go out until late 500s. Why? They were a little more righteous. But in this whole time, never had they been at this low. So one infant was all there was, because God had promised that David's line would be the king ruling ship. He said, this is where it's going to be. And the devil's come in and tried to change this thing, but we're going to see what happens. The whole of the promise of God seemed to depend on one fulfillment by one little baby child. You said, one child can't make that much difference. Wow. Look at the life of Billy Graham and see if that's not true. There are plenty of people that you can look at. Fulfillment on one feeble life, and the woman with enough commitment that she would take a chance to save the child's life. Dorothy Elliott said that her three children and her mother were all sitting around there at a family reunion, and they were hem-hawing back and forth. And the three daughters, who all had married pretty recently, were talking about where they went on the honeymoons. And one of them went to Las Vegas, and one of them went to Chicago, and talking about all these elaborate things. And finally, one of the daughters looked over and said, Grandmama, where did you go on your honeymoon? She said, upstairs. It used to be a little simpler than it is now. You know, I've learned a lot about these young ladies and young men and their weddings and all kind of stuff. It blows my mind. Can I be honest? They spend enough to make a good down payment on a house. Ain't that right? Wow. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about that. You say, well, you just did. Well, I'm sorry. Just disregard that, all right? That's up to you. If you want to waste your money, go ahead, all right? A few years later, when Joash the child and the future king is still only 7 years old when they bring him out and unfold that, you know, this lion is still alive, and they dethrone her, as we'll see in there in just a moment. Jedidiah was determined. He was the high priest married to the lady we're going to look at in a moment. He was determined to preserve the Davidic line and provide the loyal, rightful heir, as God had promised. That was his promise. So when she discovers the son is, they bring him out, guess what she does? Stands up and hollers treason. Hello? Boy, that's the pot calling the kettle black, ain't it? You killed all these, and now when we dethrone you, you holler treason? I can steal from you all I want to, but when you steal from me, boy, that's wrong. Ain't that right? Ain't that how we look at it? It's all right as long as I'm doing the stealing, but if you start stealing from me, then it turns another cheek. And that's what happened. Well, they went on and, you know, she got out of the picture. They killed her because there's some things you just have to eradicate. You know, you can't, some things you just can't fix, and that's exactly what God knows. But also murder her own children and grandchildren, which was a much rarer thing, and marginally more callous. Now she charges with treason, the very thing that she's been doing. All right? Here's what it is. And it always goes ways. The traits of a caring woman or the traits of a controlling woman. You know, we always have that choice. We can be very, very good, or we can be very, very bad. And regardless, I read an interesting article this past week in Psychology Today where a lady psychiatrist, I was kind of surprised. She wasn't professing to be a believer or anything, but she listed several myths of people trying to blame someone else for the way they are. And she goes on and says, you know, it's not your mom and dad's fault. It ain't this fault or this fault. You might be influenced by these things, but as you hear me say how many times, it's always a choice. You know, if you want to be an alcoholic, you choose to be an alcoholic. If you want to be a dope head, you choose to be a dope head. You know, if you, whatever it is, you can never completely blame it all on someone else. And that's exactly the point that she was making. All of us might have these traits, but how we deal with those traits determines how we come out. And that's exactly what we see. Where did she learn all this, by the way? Who was her mom and daddy? Pagans to the max. You know, you start talking to people. I remember D.L. Moody told a story one time. And he was alive way back yonder, where this boy had attended one of their church meetings and wanted to become a believer and wanted to follow through. And so he went to talk with the child's mom, and the mom said, oh, no, you know, we're not going to have anything to do with that. He's on his own. He makes his own decisions. Well, a few years later, he went to visit in prison because of some horrendous things that he had done because he didn't give his life to Christ. And he had lied to his mom, said, his mom thinks I'm in the army somewhere, and he died in prison, but he made Moody never talk about, you know, and this is what happens. Well, I'm just going to let them make up their own mind. Really? You know what you've done? You've just told them they can live their life by your life. Because if whatever your lifestyle is, if you never try to help them understand, especially if you're not a committed Christian, and you say, well, I'm going to let them make up their own mind, you're going to make up their mind for them by your lifestyle. That's just the way it goes. If they get out of it and become godly, it is just a miracle. That is all that is. No exception. Well, it was just predetermined. No, it wasn't. Just like, where did she learn this from? Her mom and daddy. Ahab and Jezebel, pagans to the max. Oh, well, I'm going to make up their own mind, but you make them go to school. Hello? Isn't that right? Wait a minute, you're meddling now, preacher. It's just a fact. It's amazing what we say. Well, I'm going to let them have this choice and this choice, but there's most of the choices we don't let them have. Anyway, this is not the sermon either. Quickly, the controlling woman must control. It's a biblical thing. Go back to Genesis chapter 3, and you remember the curse? What did he say to Eve? Because of this, your husband's going to be the authority over you. That's the way God looks at it. And I'm not talking about a dictator authority. And you will always try to usurp him. I think that's the King James word, isn't it? You will always be trying to get in the place of authority over him. Y'all will always be fighting for the one who's going to be in control. So it's really not a brand new idea if you understand that that is there. And that's exactly... she must get her way. Do any of y'all know any controlling ladies? Was your mama? Don't raise your hand, okay? I'm raising my hand. Don't raise your hand. Were any of you ever around any controlling ladies, even a controlling grandmama? How does that work? You know, it doesn't really matter. They're going to have to be in control, and they'll do whatever it takes to get there. I read where Vanna Shield, after a very, very exhausting day, she said a grandmother that she knew had left work and gone by the supermarket and hurried up and had two or three big buggies of goods. And so she brought them out after she checked out and she parked out by the door. This was years ago when some of this nonsense didn't go on the way it does today. So she went and got a car and pulled up close. And there was a young teenage boy just kind of leaned upside the wall there. So she yelled at him and said, go ahead and put this in my car. And he looks and says, okay. And he starts putting it in, and she doesn't like the way he's putting it in. So she tells him, that's how you can tell if there's a controlling person. It's not enough that you're helping them. You have to help them exactly the way they want you to help them. Am I right or wrong? And then you just say, oh, why don't you just do it yourself? No, we're too polite for that. But he helped her. And she was fussing at him. He finally got it all in. When he got all in, he shut the back, and he walked up to the front and said, ma'am, I just want you to know, I don't work here. I'm waiting for my grandmama. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who it is. A controlling person tries to control who? Everyone. And you put him in a place of power, what is she? She's a king. You put someone in a place of power, and can I say this? Let me go to the next part first. The controlling woman often has no sense of right and wrong from God's perspective. And this is a lady, didn't even think about killing someone. I know I'm an old dinosaur. I am, and I think like an old dinosaur. But in my lifetime, early on in my lifetime, if you would have told me we would kill babies in America at will, I'd have said, you lost your mind. But what do we do now? No sense of right or wrong. She didn't care about anybody's life. All she cared about was she wanted to be in control. So she killed her own grandchildren to get there. Wow. Why? She was a pagan. No sense of God in her life. None. The controlling woman would use manipulation. This is what I wanted to talk about. This is my own speculation, so if you disagree with me, don't be mad, all right? I think the ladies are better at this than men are. Manipulation. I don't know. You don't have to agree with me. But I think it just comes easier. You know, I've known manipulating men in my life, older manipulating men, and sometimes you just have to kind of say, we're not going to do it that way. And they don't know how to handle that if they're not getting control. But, you know how it is, children, young ladies, when your mama says, oh, no, you're going to eat lunch with us at Christmas and Thanksgiving. And guess what? If they're one of these, they don't mind manipulating the situation till that happens. Amen? Just say amen and I'm going to know you. You don't have to raise your hand. I know. That's just the way that goes. And what is the greatest way they do that with what? It's G-U-I-L-T. They try to make you feel, well, you don't love us. No, we got our own family now. Isn't that what Genesis says? Once you get married, you have your own family unit. You make your own decisions, and sometimes you get to eat with them, sometimes you don't. Grandmas and granddaddies, if you're here and you don't like that, I'm sorry. That's just the way that is. Sometimes you need to let them go and let them do their own thing. Deceit or harshness and evil to maintain the control. Wow. Boy. Rex Mathis said that his grandmother was a supervisor at a local factory years ago, and they actually let them pipe in the local radio station music while they were working. And one day, the DJ, as it often does, that's why I despise radio a lot of times, because they put them all on one circle, and they play the circle over and over and over and over and over. You know, the same songs. You hear it 10 times, and one day if you stay on that, I don't really like that. I'm pretty eclectic as far as I like all kind of stuff. Just mix it up a little bit. Well, they played the same song, and everybody in the place was griping. So Grandmama calls the radio station. Hello? And she says to the DJ, you know, this song is played and played. Well, don't you know that is the number one song right now? It really doesn't matter. Did you know that record has sold 1 million copies? And she said, yeah, and you played every one of them. Change it. Control. Manipulate. That's just the way it is. And guess what? All of us have that in us unless we suppress it. Well, don't think, I'm not guilty of that. The controlling woman seeks revenge at any price. You know, used to, if someone wanted revenge, it would be some little minute thing. You know, now they'll burst out your windows in your car or something. It's just crazy. You know, if someone wants revenge, they don't care what it is anymore. These controlling features, if present, can be seen early on in a teenager, even younger children. It's amazing. Meredith's not in here, is she? Hello? It's amazing because she's read a lot of personality books already. I don't know why she gets into it. Well, I do too, because her mama gets into that stuff, all right? That psychoanalysis, whatever you call it, psychoanalysis. And it just blows my mind because I know enough about it. She can be around a kid for a little while, and she'll say, this is that child's personality. And guess what? Every personality has a lot of weaknesses. And unless you pay enough attention to your children to see early on, if they have some of these personalities that would generate that, unless you do something to help them understand this is not good and you need less help fix that. You can't change a personality, but you can help say, you know, this is part of my personality. It's a bad side, and we're going to suppress it. And you can see it early on in their life if you want to keep them from doing something horrible like this, if you're paying attention. But guess what? You got to be around your kid enough to know who they are. And that is one of those things where we fail. Personality coupled with the fact that all of us are messed up by sin nature, you put those two together and you have a grandmother like we just saw. Boy, it can be seen if someone cares enough. Children through the young adults, they it's there. You can see their personalities immediately if you're paying attention and say, okay, because remember what I said? All of our personalities have good points and negative points, and you have to focus on the good ones and suppress the bad ones. Now, the traits of a caring woman on the other side. But Jehoshaba, the daughter of King Joram, the sister, this is his half-sister of the guy who died, okay, took Joash, the son of Uzziah, and stole him away from among the kin sons which were slain, and they hid him, even in him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not. She saw this was happening. She runs and gets the child and takes him and the nurse and hides them so grandmama won't kill him. Okay? Wow. The traits of a caring woman. The caring woman is brave and is willing. I don't know of any other time in history where a mother is going to need to be brave, more brave than she is right now. because every point of our secular culture is attacking any kind of God standard that we have. And unless you determine up front that you're going to stand against this, you're going to fold. And if you don't teach your children that they'll have to stand against it, they're going to fold. That's it. Brave. What does that mean? You know, you're going to say this is right from this part. This woman has common sense enough about life to know you can't just do anything you want to do just to get yourself in the number one slot, especially kill someone. You know, it's sad that this is not a foreign concept now in this day and time, is it? It's a cutthroat. Everybody does whatever it takes to get to the top. She kills her own grandchildren. You said that's horrible. But it happens all the time. Why? Because of our fallen nature. If we don't pay attention to it, this is where we end up. The caring woman takes action. This is wrong, and we're going to do something about it. All the compassion in the world that never does anything about it is really not anything. It's just good intentions. What does she do? She says, this is wrong. Now, remember now, who is grandmama? Grandmama's the king. So if the king finds out that you're trying to take away her authority, what's the king going to do? She's already killed her own grandchildren. Why wouldn't she kill her? She would. The caring woman pays the price to ensure that the thing is done right. It cost her. You know, what a chance she's taken, because if they had found out that that's what she's done, she would have been eliminated. Why? Because that's exactly the way things happen. Two faithful women, look at if you tag this one to that. Who is this in the end? Lois and Eunice. What does Paul say to Timothy? When I remember, man, the faith that you have, which dwell first in who? Your grandmother and your mother. Who was Timothy? Timothy was all these mission trips with Paul. How many times did he say, if you want an example, look at Timothy. Whenever he was in prison, who went to him? Timothy. Whenever he was in the last imprisonment, when he was about to be killed, who did he send for? Timothy. He said, Timothy, come to me and bring my coat and bring the parchments, knowing I'm never going to leave here. We know that Timothy, by history, ended up in Ephesus and died a martyr's death. But where did this come from? All we know about Timothy's dad is he was a Greek. We don't know anything else about him. But he says what? Paul is indicating this guy's faithfulness was based on the influence of his mother and his grandmother. You know, grandmothers, bless your heart. Too many of you are raising your children's children. That shouldn't be that way. What, you know, in the old days, just before my generation, and it was in my generation, the houses were a lot bigger because grandmama and granddaddy stayed in the house and even helped raise the children by example of that generation. You know, that's why, if any of you ever saw any of the old big houses, how many rooms were in them? A lot. Why? Because you would have sometimes four generations like the Waltons. That's exactly the way that was. And what? They would help others, but they didn't have the sole responsibility. And bless you if you're a grandmother that's raising your children's children. God's blessing's on you. I'm just saying it shouldn't be that way. Someone's neglecting their responsibility. But God bless you if you're taking on that responsibility. Why? Because what an influence you can be for them to keep them out of something horrible. Contrast these two. Which one would you like to be your grandmother if you'd just been born? Anybody? The first one or the last two? The last one. Huh? The last one. Why? Because what's your chances? What's the chances that your mother or father's half-sister or half-brother had enough in them to keep you from being killed? What's the chances of that? Wow. Not all women are like grandma, bad grandma. Not all are like Jehoshaphat. Nope. What? You got a 50-50 chance. Which one do you want to be? Your young mothers here? Mothers, ladies that are not mothers yet? You have to plan for this to turn out this way, or guess what? It will not turn out that way. And you'll have to be willing to sacrifice and be able to stand up and be brave enough. Why? Because it's going to cost you to do the right thing. It always costs to do the right thing. Any pansy can give in to the world system and, you know, just go along and you get along. And you don't have any interference. But when you stand for the right thing and say, you know, that's sin. They say, well, that's hate speech. And where we are today, you see where we are today, right? That's exactly where we are today. Where would we be? among both men and women. There are too many. What? We put ourselves first in our children's sacrifice for our whatever we're trying to attain, money or prestige or whatever. And guess what happens? We don't even know our children well enough to raise them. So whatever they turn out to be, boy, it's just God's mercy sometimes. A lot of times it's good. They may not stoop low enough to murder or cheat or anything like that, but what? They will neglect the most important moments of teaching for their children that will influence them the rest of their life. Moms, grandmoms, wow, you are the most influential people in those little people's lives, in their life. Dads, are you important? Oh, absolutely. But that's just the way God put it together. Moms, you are the most influential. Because most of the time, guess who's with them a little bit more? Hello? Mamas. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. That's just a fact. That's why. Let's commit to raise our children, our grandchildren, to fear Jesus. Not only for their sake, but for our community's sake. It'll cost us. Let's pray. Lord, what a privilege you've given us as individuals to have children, to raise children, with that opportunity to be committed to you. And they'll have a chance of that if we raise them by an example in our own lives. We make so many mistakes. Lord, remind us all, whoever's here today, whatever horrible mistake they might have made, that with your grace and your mercy, they can ask for forgiveness, not only from you, but from the family members that they have neglected, and just apologize and say, you know, I'm sorry. I want to try to change that and do anything I can from now on. Lord, help us see how important that is in a child's life, regardless of how old they are. In Jesus' name, amen.